Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Panthers fans, time for Panthers talk here, now. It's the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
And welcome into this season's third episode of Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. I'm Alex Dono in our network studios in South Florida, and joining me via the magic of radio in the great American Northeast is Doug Plagans, the voice of the Florida Panthers. So, Doug, quick turnaround for the Cats. Got a point last night against the Sabres in a shootout, and not a whole lot of time to think about that one. A chance to take both points here tonight against the New York Islanders. How are you this morning?
Doing great this morning. Good morning to you, Alex. A lot to get to here today. The Panthers, of course, in the second end of a back-to-back tonight, their first back-to-back set of the entire season. Good morning to everybody out there, and I hope you'll be with us tonight consuming this Panthers-Islanders game one way or another. We will, of course, have it tonight across the radio network. 560 The Joe is where you can tune in South Florida, 850 WFTL up in the Palm Beaches, Waxy 1370 in the Treasure Coast. You can also listen with our friends down at the southernmost station in Panthers Nation, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. And you can also tune in on the NHL app. Makes it so easy to tune in each and every game from wherever you are. So a lot of different ways to consume tonight's game. You can always catch it on Fox Sports Florida as well. So again, a lot of ways to watch, listen, follow along tonight as the Panthers meet the Islanders. And this is a game, Alex, it's going to be played out at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. So I know for me, it'll be my first trip to Nassau Coliseum. The Panthers, as a team, their last visit to Nassau would have been in the 14-15 season. After that, the Islanders began playing games at Barclays Center, but now playing games out at the Nassau Coliseum again. So tonight we'll be live from the Nassau Coliseum beginning at 7 o'clock. 6:30 will be the time of Panthers preview, so we'll be on the air with you tonight for that one. Getting started, game two of this three-game road trip for the Panthers, a road trip that wraps up on Monday at New Jersey. The Panthers' next home game is Friday at 7 against Colorado, and you don't want to miss Nathan MacKinnon and company, their only trip in the regular season to Sunrise. 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com. We hope to see you out at the BB&T Center on Friday. But lots of important business to get to, Alex, before the next Panthers home game. A couple of road games before then, one of them tonight at 7, one of them 1 o'clock Monday afternoon in New Jersey. And we've got a busy hour of the Panthers Insider Show right here for everybody.
Oh, we sure do. We'll hear from Joel Quenneville, Sergei Bobrovsky, and Mike Hoffman. Sound bites that shortly followed last night's game. We'll hear a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast that Doug hosts with Jameson Olive. Doug and Jameson sat down with Panthers defenseman Mackenzie Weegar. Jameson, by the way, is going to join us in the upcoming segment. John Lane from NHL.com will join us in the final segment to preview tonight's opponent, the Islanders. He'll also preview Monday's opponent, the New Jersey Devils. But Doug, before we fully lock in and look to the future, we will look to the week that was for the Florida Panthers. Panthers played at home on Tuesday night. It was a tough one against the Carolina Hurricanes, Doug, as Panthers fell behind 5-0. Were able to make things interesting, though, late in the hockey game. Some big goals by Mackenzie Weegar, Keith Yandle, Evgeny Dadonov, and you know, Panthers were able to, they pulled their netminder late for the extra attacker, had some unbelievable rushes down the ice and some great scoring chances. Carolina would get an empty netter from Sebastian Aho to seal the deal, but after a very tough start to that hockey game, I like the way the Panthers finish, and I'm sure, Doug, that Joel Quenneville used whatever didn't go right on Tuesday night to motivate his team to pick up business from there.
Everybody liked the last 40 minutes in the game on Tuesday, and the Panthers had a lot going during that stretch, and of course started a bit of a comeback in that game. Fell just short against Carolina back on Tuesday, but last night they had a game against Buffalo that really was a back-and-forth game. There were scoring chances at both ends, great saves at both ends of the ice. Panthers did a ton of good things last night, and again, they battled right to the final horn, and they had to get that game tied up and forced into overtime.
Yeah, Panthers took that show on the road, taking on the Buffalo Sabres. Cats would fall behind in that one. Johan Larson and Marco Scandella scoring, but Panthers were able to start a rally in the third period. Big one here at the 6 minute 15 second mark of period number three. Evgeny Dadonov cuts the Buffalo lead to one.
Center, he'll play it down to our right. This one goes into the Panthers zone. Bobrovsky left to the side of the net for Josh Brown. Far side, Mulligan, an outlet pass. Here's Huberto. Straight on, Dadonov gets past the defense, cuts in. Dadonov, a shot, he scores! And the Panthers are on the board here in the third. They've cut the deficit in half. Dadonov got past the defense, beat everybody down the ice, and he beats Ullmark along the ice, and the Panthers pull to within one.
Great work beating Ullmark there, who made some incredible saves last night. For Evgeny Dadonov, that was his second tally on the year. Jonathan Huberto and Dennis Mulligan assisting on that goal. Fourth helper on the year for Hooby-Dooby-Doo. Mulligan with his first assist on the season. So entering the midway area of that third period, Dadonov was able to cut the Sabres' lead down to a goal. And how about this for drama? Less than 11 seconds to spare. In regulation, Panthers get a mammoth game-tying goal, number five on the year, from who else? Mike Hoffman.
Plays it out the line. Yandel held it in across Dadonov near circle. Here's Huberto. Huberto down to the corner in front. Dadonov far circle. Hoffman with it. A shot. He scores! Mike Hoffman has tied the game with 10 seconds to go.
Gotta love that. Number five for Hoffman. Dadonov, the primary assist, his first on the campaign. Vincent Trocheck assisting as well. Number two for him. That would force overtime. Couldn't settle it there, Doug. We went to the shootout where the Panthers did fall short, but did grind out a point last night in seemingly the most unlikeliest of fashions after falling behind 2-0. So you have to appreciate the grit and the spirit shown yesterday evening.
There were a ton of things you can take away from last night's game. I mean, one of the first things I think of is that Sergei Bobrovsky, especially in overtime, was unbelievable for the Panthers, and we'll hear from him shortly. Some of the saves that he made during the 3-on-3 overtime were just massive. And the same thing can be said for Linus Ullmark, the goaltender at the other end for Buffalo. They were going back and forth save for save last night. And then, of course, we hit on the dramatic fashion in which the Panthers tied that game. I mean, Mike Hoffman from the right circle. I mean, if you need one goal and you might only have one shot, that's probably the guy you want taking that shot the way that he's gotten off to his hot start this season. Probably the guy you want taking that shot and exactly the place you want him taking that shot from. And the Panthers were able to get that opportunity. Mike Hoffman cashed in. And I know I jumped out of my chair in the broadcast booth and my chair kind of flew behind me. And I think you've seen that happen on multiple occasions,
certainly,
Alex, in the home booth at the BB&T Center. But that was a big one to tie the game. And you phrased it perfectly. That's how you grind out a point. That was the Panthers 10 seconds away from leaving Buffalo empty-handed, and they were able to force that game into overtime. They got the 1 point, got to the shootout. Unfortunately, it was Buffalo who got the second point in that game, but a very important point, and those are big things to build on, and the Panthers threw everything at Linus Ullmark. 43 shots on net by the end of the game, all told. Over 90 shots on net for the Panthers now over the last two games, and I know they liked a lot of what they did late in the game last night especially. Let's start things off here with some reaction from last night's game. Here is Panthers head coach Joel Quenneville first with some thoughts on last night's game.
We had a good third period, and then we had a good first as well. Second was a little bit, they had the puck more than us, but I thought it was a good battling back effort. I thought some key saves. It was interesting end of that game in overtime, but hey, Bob made some huge saves for us, and we had some good looks ourselves. But it was a lot more quality in that game than the way the score indicated.
So Joel Quenneville right there, Panthers head coach, and more reaction from him. He talks about approaching the second half of the back-to-back tonight and what to take out of last night's game.
Well, obviously, they played tonight. That helps, but we'll see going into that game. But I like the way the excitement when we scored with the goalie out. Hoffer's on fire with a shot. And some good. He had some good looks there tonight as well. So it's there are some positives, and we'll take a point.
Early in the season, indeed, you'll take the point right there. And Joel Quenneville, Panthers head coach, referencing as well early on in that clip that the New York Islanders, they played last night too. They were in Raleigh last night. They fell to the Carolina Hurricanes a night ago by a 5-2 score. The perfect 5-0 Carolina Hurricanes, by the way, at this point. So the Islanders, they fell in regulation last night. They were also on the road. They also had to travel after last night's game. So both teams heading into the second end of a back-to-back tonight when the Panthers meet the Islanders at Nassau Coliseum here on Long Island. And that was Panthers head coach Joel Quenneville. Next up, it's Panthers goaltender Sergei Bobrovsky. Thoughts on last night's game and thoughts on the Panthers getting that tying goal late in regulation?
There was could clean up some things, but I thought the guys stepped up in the second period and showed the character and get back to the game. So unfortunately, we didn't have 2 points, but 1 point, it's important for us. Yeah, it's again, yeah, as I said, the points are so important. And yeah, you're just fighting all those small moments, you know, you try to win them. A little shifts, a little shot, you know, one shot at a time, and it goes to the bank. You know, guys were great. They step up at the right time, and before like 10 seconds left, we tied up that game. So it's a huge character. You know, those kind of things bring team together. You know, team spirit, and make more trust in each other and stuff like that. So I thought it's a big point for us.
Sergei Bobrovsky, Panthers goaltender right there with some thoughts on last night's game. Talked about what a character performance that was to get that game tied up. And again, folks, the Panthers had, they had everything going their way in the third period. Let's not forget, the Panthers went down 2-0 early on in the third period. They got the goal from Dadonov to cut it back to 2-1. And then with 10 seconds left, Mike Hoffman gets that goal to tie things up. So they had to go right to the final horn pretty much to get that game tied up. They threw everything at Linus Ullmark, and they were getting big scoring chances. 17 shots on net in the third last night was more than the shot output that they had in the first period and the second period. They had 11 shots each in the first two periods and then 17 in that third period of play. Finished the game with 43 after overtime. So the Panthers had a lot of chances and really took control of that hockey game for about the last, especially the last 15 minutes or so. It felt like they were almost in Buffalo's end exclusively a night ago. They got things to work out in their favor, and it was Mike Hoffman getting that tying goal. 5 goals on the year for Mike Hoffman. And speaking of Mike Hoffman, here are his thoughts on the third period comeback last night.
I think we started to play a little bit more desperate. We started to play the kind of way that we intend to the whole game, getting pucks on net, starting to hold on to pucks, making plays. And, we just got to do that for a full 60 minutes, not just the last 5-6 minutes when we need a goal. Yeah, we had a lot of opportunities just trying to get pucks to the net with traffic and, you know, things like that sometimes happen. You sometimes create some open ice, and Daddy made a great pass over to me there, and the puck was bobbling for a little bit, so I decided to sell it down and then pick my spot.
Mike Hoffman of the Panthers right there talking about that play last night in which he scored the tying goal, got it to 2-2 late in regulation time. And Alex, you look at Mike Hoffman, last season was his first year as a Panther. He scored 36 goals, which led the team a year ago. 17 of those were on the power play, which led the Panthers in that category. He's off to a blazing start this year, 5 goals through the season's first 4 games, so picking up right where he left off. And you see this in every sport, you know, when a guy gets that hot hand. And you know, if you're in a situation where you, like I said, you need a goal and you might only have one shot, he's the guy that you probably wanted to have the puck on his stick last night. And you can draw that parallel in basketball. The guy you want to have the ball in his hands at the very end of the game. Those parallels can be drawn across all sports. And Mike Hoffman, what he's doing right now here in the early part of the season is certainly something special. 5 goals here in a very early part of the year.
He's in his bag. His confidence is through the roof, and it's something that Panther fans can really believe that he can sustain this, because he did it last season, Doug. He led the team in goals with 36 last year, even had a goal more than Alexander Barkov, who we know is the best player on the team, but Hoffman may be the best pure scorer on this team. And you're right, if you need one big shot to score one big goal, down a goal with 10 seconds left in regulation, I don't think I would trust anybody more than Mike Hoffman right now. And, you know, and I love the fact that even though the Panthers couldn't get the second point, the way that they were able to grind out that point last night, I think gives them some momentum heading into this evening's contest. I love the fact, as you alluded to, that the Panthers aren't the only team tonight that are on the second end of a back-to-back since the Islanders also played last night and lost. So, you know, hopefully we start to see this team really come together, because I thought Hoffman hit on it that, you know, they had that intensity in the third period to spark that comeback and create that rally. We need to see that over a consistent 60-minute frame. And certainly they did a better job of it than they did Tuesday against Carolina when they were extremely slow throughout the first period. And I know that that was – it became a teaching moment for Joel Quenneville. I know he had them work very hard skating and conditioning on the ice and practice the following day to make sure you don't have lapses of intensity like that. So hopefully we are seeing a team, Doug, right now rallying around guys like Hoffman and Barkov and rallying around their head coach and Joel Quenneville that are really starting to come together and realize we need to play with playoff intensity, whether it's October or April. We need to play with that sort of intensity night in and night out.
And last night, that's a big point to grind out as well. Those points can go a long way. It's, you know, you may 50 games from now, 60 games from now, you may forget the fact that the Panthers in game number 4 on the season were you know, down to their final 10 seconds, and they were able to get a game tied up and forced into overtime. But we've seen how slim the margins can be over the course of the year in the standings, and how big that point that they were able to pull out last night, the difference between, you know, they were 10 seconds away from going home empty-handed from Buffalo, and they were able to get that game tied up, get that 1 point. That can go such a long way. And, again, you talk about Mike Hoffman, the hot hand he's had lately and the confidence he's showing. But, you know, offensively, you go right down the list. If you need one shot, if you've got one opportunity, the Panthers have a ton of options. I mean, you've got Hoffman. Dadonov came up with a big goal last night. We've seen over time that Vincent Trocheck loves to have the puck on his stick in big situations, and he love that quality. Barkov, of course, you go right down the list. You know, offensively, the Panthers have some shooters, and hopefully the Panthers are able to get to the New York Islanders early in tonight's game, pick up where they left off in the third period a night ago. Folks, Ice and Dice Casino Night is back at BB&T Center on November 4th, hosted by the Florida Panthers Foundation. This night presents an exclusive opportunity to enjoy food, beverages, live entertainment, and close-up access to Panthers players, coaches, and broadcasters. For more information or to purchase tickets, go to FloridaPanthers.com. All proceeds will benefit the Florida Panthers Foundation, and a lot of fun. I was there last year. I'll be there again this year. Ice and Dice Casino Night, FloridaPanthers.com. For more info, go and check that out. And just a quick layout of what lies ahead. The Panthers, of course, at the New York Islanders tonight at 7. Panthers previews at 6:30 across the radio network. And then Monday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 12:30 pregame from Newark. The Panthers and the New Jersey Devils coming up Monday afternoon. The Panthers home for one game. That's going to be Friday night at 7 when they take on the Colorado Avalanche at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. 954-835-POC, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com. We hope to see you there. Only two more home games for the Panthers over the rest of a road-heavy month of October. Friday's game, they're in Nashville for one game the next night, and then back to the BB&T Center a week from Tuesday. The Panthers will welcome in the Pittsburgh Penguins. First matchup of the season for the Panthers against Sidney Crosby and company. You don't want to miss that. Again, for Panthers tickets, 954-835-POC, FloridaPanthers.com, and Ticketmaster.com. So that's a little bit of what lies ahead for the Panthers. And, Alex, what lies ahead for us? Still two big segments of the Panthers Insider Show.
Yeah, still two big segments to come, Doug. In the final segment, we'll talk with John Lane from NHL.com. He's going to be covering the game on Long Island tonight. But when we come back, we'll hear from Mackenzie Wieger, and we'll talk with Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com. You're listening to Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers talk continues. It's the Panthers Insider. All the Panthers news you need now on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back to this season's third episode of Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. I'm Alex Dono in our network studios in South Florida. Doug Plagans is on location in the Great Northeast. He'll be ready to call Panthers at the Islanders tonight on Long Island. Second night of a back-to-back, Doug. Panthers were able to grind out a point with a big comeback in the third period last night in Buffalo, hoping to bottle some of that third period intensity and come away with both points tonight.
Big point last night, and the Panthers, of course, hoping to keep it going tonight against the New York Islanders on the road, 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame. Folks, get the ultimate flexibility with the Panthers' Flex Plan this season. Build a plan that fits your schedule. Simply select a minimum of 20 tickets and use them for any combination of games and seats. For more information or to purchase tickets, go to floridapanthers.com/flex or call 954-835-PUCK. Panthers at the Islanders tonight at 7, at the Devils 1 o'clock on Monday. You can always catch the action across the radio network. And then, of course, on Friday, Panthers back home against Colorado at 7 at the BB&T Center in Sunrise, 954-835-PUCK, floridapanthers.com, ticketmaster.com. That's where to go to get your tickets. And if you haven't heard the Territory Talk podcast, would highly recommend it. Jameson Olive and I do the Territory Talk podcast each and every week. New material every Wednesday, floridapanthers.com/territory talk, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, different places to find it. We always have a featured guest. And this week's featured guest was Panthers defenseman Mackenzie Weegar. You can go on and hear that episode and that conversation right now, but we're going to play a cut from it for you right here. And here is Panthers defenseman Mackenzie Weegar, and he begins by talking about a team form, the Panthers forming their identity here in the early part of the season.
You know, obviously, I think you want to jump right into it right away. Q established a good system right away. I think maybe 10 games, but I think we're all professionals. We should be able to jump right in it right away. I think, you know, even going into my third season, I don't want to miss any games right away. I want to jump right into it, be consistent for 82 games. So we'll do that this year.
Well, and all told, here in the month of October, you guys only have 4 home games. Is that a good way to kind of get you into that mindset of the season as well, when you're spending a lot of time on the road and the team's getting that opportunity to get used to each other and gel away from home?
Yeah, no, I think it's great for the team to get on the road and have some fun together, get to know the new guys and create some laughs. I like it. I generally enjoy getting on the road, seeing the older guys. I know they have families and stuff like that, so for us younger guys to get out with the older guys has always been fun for me.
Is there one stop on the road you look forward to every year, you circle on the calendar?
I think the Western road swing, going to Calgary, Vancouver, all those Canadian teams is always a good time. Obviously, going back home to Ottawa has been fun. I like going on the road everywhere. Every game for me is fun. So I just like being part of a team and getting out there and having fun with the boys.
Are you one of those guys that really, you know, looks ahead of the road trip and like actually things like, oh, we're going to Ottawa, I want to do this? Or do you just kind of, the plane lands, you get off, and you just kind of go from there and figure out your night?
I usually kind of scope it out, see where a good dinner spot is or something like that. But other than that, no, I just kind of jump off the plane and hopefully it's a nice day out and you can enjoy the city and see the city a little bit.
Is there a building on the road that maybe even if you've been there a time or two before, you still look forward to hitting the ice and just feeling a certain buzz in another building on the road?
I think obviously Montreal for me. It's funny, in the 2 years I've never played in Vegas. I've always been, I think last year I was injured, so getting to watch those games has been, those games look awesome. So hopefully this year I can maybe step foot in that building and see what that building's like. What it's like. So it looks like it's a crazy time. It looks like a big show the whole time, and hopefully we get 2 points in that building.
You talked about getting started earlier the other night, tough game, but you got your first goal this season, third game in. Is that just good? And that's not a huge part of your game. You're not expected to go out there and score 30 goals a season, yeah. But just to get that first goal out of the way in a new season, does that feel like a weight lifted? Is that good?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, I'm not expected to put up 30 goals or anything like that, but I got to contribute in some way, and whether that's being physical or putting up points, whatever it takes. But yeah, it does make a little bit of a weight lifted off. It's nice to get that first one out of the way. I think for anybody it's a good feeling.
And that was a really nice goal. You came in right into the blue paint, crashed the net, flipped it up over the goalie. Is that confidence for you, like you said, coming to your third season, to make that play, to, you know, jump up on the play like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think Q's done, and even Mike's done a great job with me being confident out there and getting up in the play. They're pretty stern about that, getting in the rush and stuff like that. I don't think you'll see me too much in the blue paint a lot this year, but I'll take that one for sure.
One new face on the blue line. Other than that, all you guys have a pretty good knowledge of each other, at least going back to last season. Can that chemistry help you guys as you get into the season here, having that familiarity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all get along great. I think you guys know that just being around us, but I think this year it's time to really step up and hold each other accountable, and it's going to be a big year for us as a decor. I think there's some pressure on us, and and even having Anton there has been, he's been great to play with.
And that's what I was going to ask you about, is you've had a chance to play with Anton Strahlman a little bit here in the early part of the season, a guy who comes in, he's played a lot of big games in his career. He plays such a fundamentally sound game out there. Seems like one of those guys who really could play with anybody. Just what have you observed playing with him? How much fun has that been?
Yeah, no, I think it's been great for me. I told you guys, Q's done a great job giving me confidence, but so has Anton. He's obviously brought that veteran presence with me, but he's so calm and he's so positive. I just read off him and see what see where I should be on the ice, and tells me where to go. Even off the ice, he's pretty good professional. So just taking pointers, and I don't ask too many questions. I just sort of observe and watch him, and it's done me well so far.
And Anton Strahlman, a new face coming to the team. Sergei Bobrovsky, another new face, and he's one of the best goaltenders on the planet. Is there anything that you've been able to see that's impressed you with his game, you know, now that he's your teammate, maybe that you didn't notice when he was with the opposition?
Yeah, he's quite the goalie and the person. He's got quite the preparation before games, before practices. It's honestly great to see, just knowing that he's gonna bring it every single night. But you know, I've talked about Q and Anton giving confidence for me. Even he brings confidence. You know, you can jump up in the play or something like that, and he can bail you out. He's made some pretty highlight reel saves already, and even in practice, you guys, I'm sure I've seen it. So he's a pretty special player, and I love playing in front of him.
So a cut right there from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. Jameson Olive and I had a chance to sit down with Panthers defenseman Mackenzie Weegar, floridapanthers.com/territorytalk. If you've never heard the show, go and check it out. And speaking of Jameson Olive, we've got him here with us right now. You can hear him on the Territory Talk podcast. You can hear him on After 40, second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. You can also find lots of things produced by Jameson Olive at floridapanthers.com, so be sure to go and check that out. Check out his work there. Welcome to the program, Jameson Olive, our good friend here with us today. And I guess just going right off of that, Jameson, it's been a lot of fun watching Mackenzie Weegar as his development has continued, and he's a great guy to sit down and talk to. And again, even though the Panthers didn't get the outcome they wanted back on Tuesday against Carolina, good to see Mackenzie Weegar get that first goal of the season.
Jameson?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, sorry. Doug was just asking about Mackenzie Weegar and his start to the year.
Oh, sorry. I cut out there a little bit. For him, I think it's a great start to the year for him. Third season in the league. Already getting bumped up to that top pairing with Aaron Ekblad. Obviously, I think Joel Quenville's still trying to figure out, you know, where he's going with all three of those pairings. And it's probably pretty fluid as the year goes on with those bodies. But for him to get up there so early, I think he's done great. I liked his goal the other night. I think he brings a little bit to, you know, all three zones, from, you know, the offensive zone, defensive zone, neutral zone. I think he's really kind of discovering his game, and I still think we've seen the best of Mackenzie Weegar. And Doug will tell you, we talked about in the podcast there, he's a guy that's taking the long road. I mean, a seventh-round pick, put his time into the AHL. You know, had a couple back and forth years here with the Panthers going up and down, and now it seems like he's really settled into a full-time role here. So looking ahead, he's definitely got to have a lot of room to grow and a lot of potential.
Now, Jameson, speaking of starts to the season, I mean, what can we even say about Mike Hoffman, the hot start that Hoff is off to? 5 goals on the year. Yeah, the Hoff start. He already has a hat trick this season, had the big game-tying goal last night with 10 seconds left.
He's doing exactly what he did last year. Let's not forget, this is nothing new. His first season with the Panthers last year, he didn't have a point in the first 2 games. And then after that, he had a point in the next 17 games, which set a franchise record. Second longest point streak in the NHL last season, behind Patrick Kane's 20-game streak in Chicago. So he's a traditional hot starter. I had a chance to talk to him about it the other way, and he said, you know, there's times when, you know, it goes the other way. You get up to a slow start and that snowballs, but when you get up to a hot start, that can snowball just as well, and you see that right now. And he's just so confident shooting the puck, and that's the thing about some of these goals. The other night with the hat trick, or even last night with that goal to tie the game with about 10 seconds left, those aren't his traditional just stop and kind of shoot one-timers. He's definitely showing a lot of patience with the puck now, that when he gets a bouncing puck, he takes it, he settles it down, and then just picks the corner. Because if he's given that much time like he had last night to actually settle down, pick a corner, he's going to score. So huge start for him. He's, you know, one of the, you know, top hottest players in the Panther right now. And the thing with him is he can continue this. This isn't a surprise. So he's off to another great start. Had 36 goals last season, and it looks like he's going to be sniffing that number again.
We're joined by Jamison Olive, lead writer at FloridaPanthers.com and also co-host of the very popular Territory Talk podcast. So, Jamison, tonight, second end of a back-to-back for the Panthers. Also the case for their opponent, who played last night as well. Panthers will be on Long Island to face the Islanders. What are your keys for tonight?
A couple things. He says that the Islanders obviously played last night in Carolina. The Panthers played last night in Buffalo. So the Panthers traveled a little bit less than the Islanders. But either way, neither team can use that as an excuse. Just they're both coming in under the same circumstances. But a couple keys, I think, first and foremost, it's going to come down to the first period. I was actually shocked when I was looking at the numbers. The Panthers actually don't have a first-period goal yet this season through four games. I know they've been starting a bit slow, but actually they have no goals through the first period so far this season. That's got to change. And the good thing is the Islanders have allowed five first-period goals this season. So the Islanders 1-3-0. They're off to a slow start. When you look at the kind of opponents the Panthers have played so far, the Lightning, the Hurricanes, the Sabres, those are three teams that are off to hard starts, three teams that could potentially be in the playoffs. So this is kind of the first game where they definitely, you know, should win, where they definitely have a great opportunity to take advantage of a team that's slumping right now. So that's, like I said, first period's going to be huge. Taking care of business is going to be huge. But Sam Montembeau, this could be the first time we see him. We don't know yet. Obviously, with no morning skate this morning coming off a back-to-back, who's going to be starting in net for the Panthers? But given that it is a back-to-back, given that Bobrovsky played not only the night before, but also some extra time the night before with the game going to overtime in the shootout, would it be surprised to see the rookie Sam Montembeau start tonight, get his first start of the season? Came in relief in the Carolina game a couple nights ago, stopped 19 of 20 shots, looked pretty good. He said, you know, hey, it was good to, you know, get in there and face some shots and kind of get ready for that potential first start coming up. He was spectacular during the preseason. Stopped 90 of 95 shots in three appearances to win the backup job. He's only 22 years old. He's a young guy. Showed some promise last year. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on tonight if he starts.
And Jamison, last thing here. It's a big picture question, but you know, the 10 seconds separated the Panthers from leaving Buffalo with no points last night. They're able to get that point by forcing the game into overtime. Again, a big picture question, but that one point could really come in handy down the road, and that really was the definition of grinding out a point on the road.
I was out 2 years ago when the Panthers missed the playoffs with 96 points. If they would have had 97, they would have been in there. So big points are always huge no matter how you get them. Sergei Bobrovsky said as much last night, and Sergei Bobrovsky said it's not just the point in the standings, but just the kind of how the team fought, that passion they had at the end, especially when you're going into a game immediately the next day. He kind of talked about how that could build, you know, character for this team, how that, you know, really shows the spirit of this team. And like I said, even though it's one point, this could turn into a lot of points down the road if the team does feed off it and turns it into more. And kind of looking, like I said, once again tonight, a couple guys, Barkov, Huberto, Connolly, Petrano, those are four guys that haven't scored yet this season and four guys we probably expect, you know, over 100 combined goals from the season. So the Panthers have a couple guys that are due for some goals, that are due to, you know, get on the score sheet, that are due to, you know, turn this start around. So for them, given, you know, last night how it ended, they can definitely feed off that. And for the Panthers as a whole, I think they can feed off getting that one point.
It's Jamison Olive, lead writer at FloridaPanthers.com, on Twitter at Jamison Coop. Thank you so much, Jamison.
Thanks, guys.
And great stuff still here to come on this episode of Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. When we come back, we'll talk with John Lane from NHL.com. He'll be covering the game tonight on Long Island. You're listening to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back to Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
And welcome back to this season's third episode of Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. I'm Alex Dono, home in our network studios in South Florida. Doug Plagans is on the road. Your Florida Panthers back in action tonight. Quick second end of back-to-back evenings. Panthers on Long Island this evening to take on the Islanders. And speaking on that, we'll also talk a bit about the New Jersey game on Monday. We're joined now by John Lane from NHL.com. John will be covering the game on Long Island tonight. John, how are you?
Alex, how are you this morning?
Doing great. We appreciate you taking the time. And before we get to some of the X's and O's and talk a little bit about these matchups, I love your take on the Nassau Coliseum where the game's being held tonight. I know for Doug Plagans, that'll be his first time calling a game in that building. What does that building mean to the Islanders and their fans?
It means a lot. I mean, when you think about the history and the and everything that goes on at the Nassau Coliseum, it's just a staple of Long Island. The fans there are very passionate, very loud, and even with the refurbished building, you look at something which is pretty intimate, and it's going to be a great environment tonight. There's no doubt about that.
And John, just looking at this matchup as a whole, we've talked about it a lot, you know, leading up here over the last 40 minutes or so. But a matchup tonight of two teams that are in the second in a back-to-backs, two teams that were on the road one night ago. Just overall, your impressions of the New York Islanders here in the first few games of the season as they approach this matchup tonight against the Panthers.
Well, I think what you're looking at is a very small sample size, 1-3. And to start the season, I believe it's the first time that there are two games under 500 since the end of the 2017-18 season. So, you have your share of fans who like to draw conclusions at this early in the season. I don't subscribe to that practice. The season's obviously very long. When you look at what the St. Louis Blues did last season, it's not over till it's over, as a wise man once said. So a very small sample size. But if you want to talk about concerns at the start of the season, it's certainly their scoring, especially at 5-on-5.
And when you talk about Islanders scoring, a guy like Matt Barzal, though, is always a guy that you have to keep an eye on. He hasn't scored his first goal of the season yet, but just what's it been like watching his development, from your perspective over the last couple of years?
I think watching Matthew Barzal has been a real treat. Even if he doesn't score, he's a threat every time he takes the puck and he's on the ice. He's a playmaker. He's a depth skater. Certainly always a threat. After the Calder Trophy winning season 2 years ago, expectations have certainly risen. But you have to take a look at Barzal last season playing under a new system, a more defensively structured system coached by Barry Trotz. So maybe he didn't replicate the numbers of his rookie year, but he's still a very dynamite player and somebody who's still very young, and he's only going to grow and get better.
John Lane, NHL.com, here with us this morning on the Panthers Insider Show, talking about tonight's opponent, the New York Islanders. Panthers and the Islanders tonight at 7, and then Monday afternoon, the Panthers wrap up this road trip against the New Jersey Devils. Same kind of thing, John. Just early on in the season here, your first impressions of this 19-20 version of the New Jersey Devils.
Well, my preseason impression of the Devils was very high. I had them pegged for returning to the playoffs in light of all the offseason changes they made and them getting back a healthy Taylor Hall and Corey Schneider. It's just like the Islanders. Yes, the Devils are 0-2-2 to start the season. Yes, they've lost four straight games to begin a season for the first time since 2015-16. But I think with them, with all new faces, it's going to take time to gel. Some teams catch on pretty quickly. Others, it just takes time to get to know each other, get to know your nuances on and off the ice, and eventually click. So, yeah, they're 0-2-2, but the game the other night, I think it was Thursday, it was their best effort since the first two periods of the opener against the Winnipeg Jets. So now it's a matter of time before those efforts turn into results.
In an incredibly small sample size, but Jack Hughes, top pick in the draft back in June. What have you seen from him through the preseason? What have you heard talking to people? And as far as his early development in the National Hockey League, what have you seen from Jack Hughes?
I've seen a lot of good stuff. I've seen a lot of progress already. He hasn't scored his first NHL goal yet, but I think that's in tough luck. He's faced a couple of hot goalies the past couple of games. You have to remember that he's 18 years old, and when you compare him to somebody like Kako in terms of size, Kako today, he's more NHL ready. He was projected to be more NHL ready entering the season, whereas when you look at Hughes, he's going to continue to grow and fully develop and evolve. And I think once you see that, you're going to find out why he's a tremendous player and he was the top pick in the draft.
And John, switching gears a little bit, we had a chance to chat up in New Brunswick at Kraft Hockeyville during the preseason. Just wanted to get your impressions. I know it was only a few weeks ago, so I wanted to get your impressions on the event up there. I know we had a ton of fun. It looked like everybody had a ton of fun. The reception that we got from the community when the Panthers came into the building that day, it was just unbelievable. And the same thing when the Montreal Canadiens showed up. Just wanted to get your impressions on what really was a fun event, a great event up there.
Doug, I thought it was fantastic. Before the game in Bathurst, when the Panthers and Canadiens arrived, I was able to spend a couple of days in Renews, New Brunswick, which was the winning community at Hockeyville. And like last year when I went to Lucan, there's a strong sense of community. You could tell how passionate everybody is about the game and how everybody knows each other and how everyone looks out for one another. Every Hockeyville is unique. Every Hockeyville has a different story. But what stands out with Renews is that you're talking about a community and a group of communities in the surrounding areas who rallied together around such a terrible tragedy, one of many tragedies to affect the area over the past 12, 18 months. So just the people I met, the events I attended, seeing how the kids reacted, and, of course, the red carpet ceremonies, everything was just – it's just a wonderful event. It shows how much the game has grown. It shows how much the game is loved, and it shows how much the game continues to grow.
Really good stuff here from John Lane from NHL.com. He'll be covering tonight's matchup, Panthers and Islanders, Monday against New Jersey as well. John, I'd love to hear your impression on the Panthers so far. Not off to the hottest of starts, but you see the firepower. You certainly see the ambition from the franchise going out and getting Coach Q and getting Sergei Bobrovsky. But what do you make of the way they've played so far?
Yeah, I mean, again, they're off to a slow start and a very small sample size. I think you're seeing a lot of things that worked for the Florida Panthers last year in terms of scoring. Mike Hoffman is off to a tremendous start. I believe he has points in all four games that he's played. You're seeing good stuff out of Huberdeau, Dandanoff. Just wait till Alexander Barkov comes around. I know he has three assists in the first four games, but he's a horse, and he could take practically any team to the next level. And Sergei last night was great. Until the final 10 seconds of the game, you had the impression that the Panthers were going to leave empty-handed in spite of Bob's tremendous performance. But I think you're going to see why Mike Hoffman's goal was pretty important last night. That's going to be the spark that the Panthers needed to say, okay, we've put together some better performances. The results aren't quite there. But like the Devils, they have a lot of new faces, and it's going to take time to click. But once it clicks, you're going to see the Panthers reach new heights.
He's John Lane. You can follow his work at NHL.com. John, thank you so much, and enjoy the games.
Thank you, John.
It's my pleasure. Yeah, I'll see you tonight, Doug. Thanks a lot.
Yep, we'll see you soon.
Really good stuff there, Doug. And he did a great job kind of offering previews for the next couple of matchups here for the Panthers. And, of course, it starts tonight with a big one in Long Island.
Panthers and the Islanders tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame. Where to listen tonight, 560 The Joe in South Florida, 850 WFTL up in the Palm Beaches, Waxy 1370 in the Treasure Coast, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys, the NHL app as always, lots of different ways to listen. You could watch on Fox Sports Florida, so a lot of ways to consume. The Panthers and the Islanders tonight, both teams in the second end of a back-to-back, and the Panthers with a win could have 3 out of 4 points here on this back-to-back. So a big game tonight for the Panthers, a big Eastern Conference matchup.
Yeah, certainly love the way the Panthers finished out the game last night, Doug, and I know that the message for Coach Q has got to be bottle up that fighting spirit, bottle up that intensity, and have it going again tonight.
We heard it from Mike Hoffman when we heard his reaction in the first segment of the Panthers Insider Show. Talked about getting that urgency level going late last night, and they'll look to continue that again as we go into tonight's game. Panthers wrap up the road trip against the Devils at 1 o'clock on Monday, and then the Panthers will be back home against Colorado Friday at 7, 954-835 puck, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com. We hope to see you there on Friday night. Two big road games before then.
That'll do it for this edition of Panthers Insider. We'll see you out at the rink when the Panthers return home. And, of course, you can listen tonight on the radio network. Thanks to Doug Plagans. Thanks to John Lane. Thanks to Jameson Olive. This has been another Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers radio network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.